What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. And I am Chip, I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for listening as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and now we're on Amazon Music. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So please hit subscribe, support the show, so you don't miss any more episodes. Because, you know, starting right now, you know, I've been gone for a while. The end of last year got crazy busy for me. And I know that the channel has been pretty much dead since January. A few things about that. I apologize for all my listeners who were tuning in every single week. You know, I got sick later, or, you know, in January. I had strep throat and I was unable to talk for a few weeks and I just wasn't feeling myself. So it was hard to obviously the podcast is about talking. So if I can't talk and I can't do segments for any duration, I'm not going to put it out there. So unfortunately I had to put the podcast on hold. And then especially for me, I was just trying to find a way to kind of, you know, just kind of recalibrate. You know, I was able to go to Florida for a little bit. I was able to watch, you know, the Bucks win the Super Bowl, which if you're listening, you know I'm a Bucks fan. So it was really cool to see the Tampa Bay Bucks win again. The last time they won a Super Bowl, I was a senior in high school. So it was cool to kind of see them come back and win another Super Bowl. So very cool things going on. But now that free agency has happened, now we know where main targets are headed. It's now time to get back into the swing of things. Time to go back into seeing what these signings mean when it comes to the team and then overall fantasy value for those players. And then now we're going to start, you know, doing a podcast once a week until the draft. And then once the draft starts, then we'll start doing some rankings, early on rankings. So for right now, we're starting to kind of get the groove back. So the break I need at the end of the year was much needed, but it's nice to come back for this episode and kind of go over my reaction to all the free agent signings that happened last week and to continue to happen. So that's what today's episode's about. So we're going to react to all the free agency additions. So before we get into that, let's go into some of the minor news that took place on Monday. Mike Silver reports that the Packers are trying to restructure Aaron Rodgers' contract. Now, we know that there's been some rumors out there about Aaron Rodgers not being happy with what's going on in Green Bay. But it looks like what they're trying to do is they're about $3.8 million dollars under the cap, so they're just trying to find some cap relief. It'll be interesting to kind of see how that plays out, and usually that restructure will kind of tell us exactly how we're going to see Aaron Rodgers moving forward, if he's going to be with Green Bay or he's going to move on. But that's going on in Green Bay. And then Sammy Watkins, he is going to visit the Baltimore Ravens on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday he's going to visit the Colts. So it's one of those things where Sammy Watkins, you know, he's doing his rounds, trying to find the best fit for him. Who knows if he goes back to Kansas City, but Kansas City has some cap. They're kind of strapped with the cap right now, so I don't see them re-signing him. But you never know. He's going to go to, if you go, if he went back to the Chiefs, he's going to a for sure playoff contender. And if the Ravens are a good fit, that's another playoff team as well. So we'll see where Sammy Watkins ends up. And some good news about the NFL draft. The NFL announced on Monday that they will hold an in-person draft April 29th to May 1st. Now, they're going to have some limited attendance, and they'll still maintain the protocols for COVID-19, but we're finally going back to seeing a actual in-person draft, which last year they did a pretty good job on doing a remote draft. Things played out very well for them. It was actually kind of enjoyable to kind of see all the players that were getting drafted with their families and friends, but this year we're going back to in-person, which I always enjoy. So that's going on right now in the news for the NFL. Now let's go ahead and move on to all the free agent signings that took place last week and until Monday. And now we're going to go in and start off with the quarterback position. We're going to start off with Carson Wentz. Now he was traded to the Colts for a 2021 third and 2022 second round pick. Now, I like this move for the Indianapolis Colts. I actually like this move for Carson Wentz. I do like that Carson Wentz gets to start off fresh with a new team. And he goes to a coach that he's familiar with. He goes to Frank Wright. So that gives him an opportunity to be able to start fresh, be in an offense that really, you know, back when they won the Super Bowl, he was an MVP candidate. He was playing out of his mind, playing great. Then he tore his ACL. And they don't have the weapons that the Eagles did when that year happened. But they have some decent pieces where I feel like Carson Wentz, but from a fantasy standpoint, I think he can be a very, you know, late value pick. Now, I don't think he's somebody, now if you're in a two quarterback league, he might be a guy you start every week, but especially in one quarterback leagues, he's a guy that you can probably stream. You can probably find a guy that will, you know, definitely have some good games, but he does get Michael Pittman, right? He does, you know, has Paris Campbell. He has Trey Burton. You know, then he's going to have Jonathan Taylor out of the backfield. Then Marlon Mack re-signed with the Colts. So I do think there's some decent pieces there for him that I think that he could have that you know, success for the 2021 season. So I think, you know, this is a good move, you know, for both sides, because who knows what's going on with the Eagles right now. You know, Doug Peterson got fired. Then they hired a new coach that I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but it's going to be just kind of see how Jalen Hurts will flourish under this new coaching regimen. So we'll see. But as for Carson Wentz, I like this move. And then another player that was traded was Matthew Stafford. So Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff swap team. So Matthew Stafford obviously goes to Los Angeles Rams, and then Jared Goff goes to the Detroit Lions. Now Stafford was traded to the Rams for Goff, a 2021 third, a 2022 first, and a 2023 first round pick. That's a lot to give up for an aging quarterback. But Matthew Stafford, I see fantasy-wise, I see Matthew Stafford being a fringe QB1. I mean, he has a lot of talent around him. I mean, you got Robert Woods, you got Cooper Kupp, you got Cam Akers. So I do think that Matthew Stafford is going into a better offensive situation than he had in Detroit his whole career. Like, I know he had Calvin Johnson for a few years. I know they had Kenny Galladay and some other pieces. But I do think with the innovation of Sean McVay, I do think that this is a good move for both sides. Even though the Rams have no future draft picks going forward, they're trying to win now. And I think Matthew Stafford obviously is an upgrade to from Jared Goff. And now when it comes to Jared Goff, unfortunately, he is really an untouchable player unless you're in a deeper two quarterback league where you may have him as a bench player. But Jared Goff is not somebody you're going to attempt to draft. It's just hard to see any value there in the pieces they have over in Detroit. So I'm staying away from Jared Goff. But those were the two biggest trades that happened earlier in the offseason. And then now going to all the re-signings, and all the signings that happened over the last week. Now, Dak Prescott, that was the biggest one. Dak Prescott signed a four-year, $160 million extension with the Cowboys. Now, fantasy-wise, nothing changes for Dak Prescott. I still see him as a top-five fantasy quarterback. You know, obviously, nothing on that Cowboys offense really changes. I think this helps Zeke a lot. You know, when Dak Prescott went out, Zeke only combined for like 100 yards, total yards, twice the rest of the season. And then he only had two total touchdowns since week five. So this is something that I feel like is going to open up the running game. Obviously, when it comes to the pass catchers, out of all three of the pass catchers, I like CeeDee Lamb the most. CeeDee Lamb was a great slot receiver. He's a guy who is a number one wide receiver, but because he's on a team with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb is perfect for the slot. I see CeeDee Lamb being a very, when it comes to fantasy options for a wide receiver for the Cowboys, I'm going to rank it CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup. That's how I see it. So I do think Dak Prescott allows that offense from a fantasy standpoint still be relevant. So good signing for the Cowboys. Now going on to the Saints, they re-signed Jameis Winston on a one-year, $12 million contract. Now, I do like this move, but I don't like the fact that they extended Taysom Hill. Now, I know the way they restructured Taysom Hill's contract, a lot of teams are now using a lot of voided terminology, meaning that they're trying to spread out their money based on the fact that they need to be able to not have so much of a cap hit this year since the cap is so much lower. And so they're going to spread out voided years throughout the duration of the contract. But, you know, Taysom Hill is supposed to make more money than Jameis Winston. I personally do not see Taysom Hill being the quarterback because I just don't think from a 16 or 17 game standpoint, if they go to 17 games next year, I just don't see how they're going to flourish under Taysom Hill. He's too much of a one read, I'm going to run type of player, and he doesn't utilize all the pieces around him. When you saw Drew Brees, you saw Alvin Kamara get utilized a lot. He spread the ball around. So I don't know if Jameis Winston is able to win this job over Taysom Hill. I really like Alvin Kamara again next year. Alvin Kamara has been my guy since he's been a rookie. And Alvin Kamara, to me, is a top five running back. But The problem is if Taysom Hill becomes the starter and it starts the duration of the season, I really don't like Alvin Kamara. I think that his value drops, and it just makes me nervous for Alvin Kamara. And, you know, for me being an owner of Alvin Kamara every year he's been in the league, I don't know, it makes me concerned, and I don't know if I want to chance that next year, because Alvin Kamara is a RB1, and you saw the numbers he had last year, especially when you're in the, you know, fantasy championship game. I had him in the fantasy championship game. He has 6 touchdowns, which obviously was, you know, outstanding for me, but I just don't see that same production if Taysom Hill wins the quarterback position. And then also when it comes to Michael Thomas, I think this boosts Michael Thomas's value. I think last year, he was dealing with a high ankle sprain. He had all different, you know, injuries taking place. So his season was pretty much a crapshoot. So, but I do think that with Michael Thomas coming back, he's healthy. I think obviously this is a boost for Michael Thomas. Now moving on to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now he signed a 1-year, $12 million contract with the Washington Football Team. Now I do like this. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick as a person and a player. He's so fun to watch. You can tell he has passion for the game. You know, there were some rumors that he was going to retire after the season, but it looks like he is going to be the starter for Washington. Which, you know, you can say what you want about it, but when it comes to the options they had out there, I mean, they would have to trade for somebody if they wanted someone like Sam Darnold or whatnot. You know, they got rid of Alex Smith. Taylor Heineke got re-signed. So that means that there'll be a quarterback competition. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick wins that job. And what's good about that is that, you know, that's great for Terry McLaurin, because Ryan Fitzpatrick loves targeting the number one wide receiver. And Terry McLaurin is such a dynamic and explosive receiver. I can see Terry McLaurin have a great season next year. I mean, he's going to get a bunch of targets. Even though they signed, you know, Curtis Samuel, I still think that it's going to be a good outcome for Terry McLaurin. Now moving on to the Chicago Bears. Now the Chicago Bears, they didn't re-sign Mitch Trubisky. He signed with the Buffalo Bills, but they did sign Andy Dalton to a 1-year, $10 million contract. Now I don't know exactly what this signing really means. I mean, apparently he's signing as the starter. He's assuming that he's going to be the starter unless they draft somebody. But as of right now, Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback going forward with the Bears. Now, when it comes to the fantasy implications, I just don't see the upside. Now, I know for Allen Robinson, it's kind of a blah move for me. Allen Robinson got franchise tags, so now he has to deal with Andy Dalton. I mean, I feel like Allen Robinson is quarterback proof. I feel like no matter what, he's going to be at one of the top targets for wide receivers out there. But Andy Dalton, I mean, I hope I'm wrong about this, but the Bears don't have enough talent around them where Andy Dalton would flourish, because when he had, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, you know, things kind of struggled a little bit until he got his feet wet. And then finally it started to look a lot better by the end of the season. But I just don't see how Andy Dalton, you know, he has no fantasy relevance. You know, only person that really has fantasy relevance when it comes to wide receiver right now is Allen Robinson. But it just stinks for Allen Robinson to be under another quarterback that is not like a top quarterback in the league. Now moving on to the running back position. Let's start off with Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones was able to re-sign with the Green Bay Packers on a 4-year, $48 million contract. Now what is good about this is that obviously there's chances that he could have went to Miami and some other destinations, but you have to pay guys that are worth the money. And I feel like Aaron Jones is worth the money. He's a good pass catcher off the backfield. He's a good runner. So for me, you know, this was the only move that the Packers should have made. This is the great move. But when it comes to a lot of people, because obviously before free agency happens, you're not sure you're trying to figure out, okay, you got Jamal Williams as a free agent. You got, you know, Aaron Jones being a free agent or pending free agency. And then everyone's like, okay, A.J. Dillon. What happens to A.J. Dillon? Now, I feel like this obviously is a downgrade to A.J. Dillon. I feel like Aaron Jones obviously is the lead back. But I do still feel like there will be some value to A.J. Dillon, because we saw that Jamal Williams did have some flex appeal last season. And I feel like A.J. Dillon is too talented of a running back to not play. So I do think it's going to be a 1-2 punch. But obviously, Aaron Jones is going to be the lead back in that backfield. So we'll wait to see. Hopefully, you know, there'll be some fancy relevance to A.J. Dillon where we can use him in a flex type of situation. But it's time will tell. Now moving on to the Seattle Seahawks. Now they re-signed Chris Carson to a 3-year, $24.6 million contract, which I think, you know, this is a great move for Seattle. You know, this goes with their mantra that they want to run the ball. They're ground and pound. You know, they didn't bring anybody into, you know, onto the team that's wide receiver. I know there are some talks that Russell Wilson's trying to get Antonio Brown, but as of right now, I mean, their team is looking exactly the same. You know, they were able to get Chris Carson re-signed, which is good for them because he's a good physical running back that is good for Pete Carroll's system. So I think that you know, now that, you know, Carlos Hyde has re-signed or signed somewhere else, I think Chris Carson, obviously, if he can stay healthy, would be Chris Carson, and Rashad Penny would be the backup as of right now. So good sign, re-sign with the Seahawks. And then Kenyon Drake. So this is kind of a weird one for me. Kenyon Drake signed a 2-year, $14.5 million contract with the Raiders. Why this is weird to me is because Kenyon Drake is a capable fantasy running back. I feel like we've seen spurts of him where he is able to take the load and have very good fantasy games. But him going to the Raiders, it kind of tells you what the market was for him, because generally, most star players that are being, you know, being followed and wanting to sign are going to have deals right off the bat. And with Kenyon Drake, you know, he signed on the 18th. So, I mean, I know that it was a few days after free agency started, but I do think that, you know, Kenyon Drake going to the Oakland or to the Las Vegas Raiders is definitely going to be a downgrade to Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is a very talented running back, and it shows that if he gets the targets, he gets, you know, the opportunities, he's a very capable running back, especially for fantasy. But now you add Kenyon Drake to the mix, definitely not a situation I want to touch when it comes to fantasy football. Josh Jacobs goes for like from an RB1 to now possibly an RB2, because it's all about opportunity, and you're not just going to sign Kenyon Drake to sit him on the bench. So I think that Kenyon Drake really taps the floor and the ceiling for, or taps the ceiling for Josh Jacobs. So very interesting, you know, signing there. And then Jamal Williams, you know, he signed a 2-year contract with the Lions. It was a 2-year, $7.5 million contract. Now, I do think that obviously when it comes to DeAndre Swift, it's a little concerning, but I do feel like you're going to see the same probably move that you saw with the Green Bay Packers. You got DeAndre Swift. He is the starter. They drafted him last year. He is the guy. But Jamal Williams will be the guy, will be a change of pace back, could be a third down option. I'm not too concerned with what's going on with DeAndre Swift's value, because I have him in Dynasty. I really don't think that Jamal Williams will cut into that too much, but just a very interesting sign. And nowadays you see that there's more going to be more running backs that are going to be a 1-2 punch. So, and more teams doing that. So I don't think that there's too much concern there with Jamal Williams signing there. I just now mentioned him before, but Carlos Hyde, he signed a 2-year contract for a $6 million contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, this really, to me, I really think this hurts James Robinson, because James Robinson last year had the most percentage of carries and touches out of all the running backs, and he was a rookie. He was very, very good. He was one of those bright spots in the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. He was an undrafted rookie. They got rid of Leonard Fournette. They brought in, you know, James Robinson, and he was a fantasy stud. I mean, he was a guy that everyone was surprised with, you know, last year. But, you know, Carlos Hyde now goes back to a team like Urban Meyer. He was on the Jacksonville Jaguars before. He played under Urban Meyer at Ohio State. So I feel like they bring him in knowing that he's a capable third down back. So I really do see that this is going to make James Robinson more of an RB2. But just a very interesting signing, where I know they need backups. They need a capable backup. So if anything happens to James Robinson, Carlos Hyde can carry the load. So I do think that's very interesting. But just like Kenyon or Josh Jacobs, James Robinson to me is a guy that I don't know. I feel like he's not a running back that I'm going to be going for based on his floor being capped and his ceiling being capped. And now going to Mark Ingram. So both Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay signed with the Houston Texans. They both signed a 1-year deal. Mark Ingram signed for $2.5 million, and then Philip Lindsay signed for $3.25, which is a very interesting signing to me, because obviously the Broncos released Philip Lindsay. It didn't make any sense to me why he signed with the Texans. You already got David Johnson there. He seems to be the starter going forward. And Mark Ingram obviously is a capable, you know, backup. And then you add Philip Lindsay to the mix. I just don't know. Someone seems to be getting cut here at some point. If it's my guess, I think it's going to be Mark Ingram being the one who gets shafted. But you know, this is, you sign with teams not knowing it. Maybe he knew that they were going to bring another running back, but maybe Mark Ingram didn't know that the Texans were going to sign a third running back. And Philip Lindsay is very capable. He's a very, you know, he's a very good running back. So just one of those takes where I feel like David Johnson is the clear-cut starter. And I just don't know how Philip Lindsay and Mark Ingram, who's going to make the cut there. So it'll be interesting going forward. All right, now let's go to the wide receiver position. Let's start with two of the players that got franchise tags. So Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Bucks was franchised. He got the franchise tag, which I think is a good move for the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, obviously the Bucks being my favorite team, it was interesting to kind of see who they were going to franchise tag, because they had a chance of franchising Shaq Barrett, our outside linebacker, or they were going to re-sign Chris Godwin or franchise tag Chris Godwin. So I think Bucks done a very good job on keeping everybody they've been wanting to keep. They re-signed Gronk. They were able to keep Godwin. They kept most of their defense together. Now we're still waiting for what's going to happen with Leonard Fournette and Antonio Brown. But it's one of those things where the Bucks are trying to go back-to-back. As long as you can bring back the same players, obviously the chemistry is there. So hopefully this is good news for the Bucks going forward, with that offense is being more cohesive going forward. And I mentioned before, Allen Robinson, he got franchise tagged by the Bears. You know, the thing is, he's making his money. He has to play another year under the franchise tag. Who knows if he'll be able to have a good season under Andy Dalton? That's yet to be determined. But I still think that he's a guy that gets high volume targets, and he's a guy that you should own fantasy wise, because he's definitely a guy that is really the only option in Chicago, other than you got Mooney there and you got, you know, Anthony Miller. So it's just one of those things where I still feel like Allen Robinson still has a lot of appeal there. The big signing that came down over the week was Kenny Golladay. So Kenny Golladay signed a 4-year deal, $72 million contract with the New York Giants. Now, he was being pursued by the Bengals and the Bears. They're trying to give him like a 1-year prove it deal, but he got his money. He was seeking $18 million a year. He got what he wanted, which I thought that was pretty high for Kenny Golladay. For some reason, and I've said this enough on my YouTube channel, on the podcast, that Kenny Golladay, to me, I know he's a freakish athlete. He's very good. But for some reason, when it comes to fantasy, I just never want to draft him. He's just one of those guys that I just don't feel like where he goes in drafts, he should be going there. And, you know, I made a comment last year during my offseason, like rankings and all that, where when it came to value picks, I'd rather have Marvin Jones over Kenny Golladay. And because of the value, because I feel like Marvin Jones, where the value is going to give you more than what Kenny Golladay gives you, draft him in, you know, the first couple rounds of the draft. And now, granted, it worked out in my favor based on the fact he got injured and played 5 games last year. But Kenny Golladay has only played 16 games once. And now when he did play 16 games, he had a Pro Bowl season. He had 65 receptions for 1,190 yards and 11 touchdowns. So we know he's very good. But the problem is he's going to a team with a lot of talent now. So I see some of the, more of the same. Now, he had like 116 targets that 1 year that he got his Pro Bowl year. Now, I do see that being the same exact thing. I see, you know, you got Kenny Golladay. So Daniel Jones is now going to have Kenny Golladay. Yeah, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram. They signed Kyle Rudolph. And you got Saquon Barkley. That's a lot of mouths to feed. And I feel like we're going to see a similar stat line for Kenny Golladay. It's just too many players that I feel like need to get the ball, that I just feel like Kenny Golladay will kind of fit in that same mold if he plays 16 games. Now, I hope he does. I think he's a fun guy to watch. I think he's talented. But from a fantasy standpoint, I'm just not a guy that's very big on Kenny Golladay. It's nothing against him or anything like that. It's just a guy that, I don't know, going to a new team, you know, he's definitely a talented player, but I don't know. We'll see. I wish he went to a team where he's going to be the number one wide receiver in New York, but I wish he went to a team where it would have been less competition for targets. That's all I'm saying. But overall, good sign for the New York Giants. Now, what this means for Daniel Jones is that now he has no more excuses. Daniel Jones has now, this is going to be his, you know, third season. I feel like this is going to be the make or break season for him, that they could be actively looking for a quarterback in the draft. Who knows? But there's no reason for Daniel Jones not to succeed with the roster that he has around. And hopefully they address the offensive line in the draft and more in the offseason. But Daniel Jones, he could be a sneaky play and a sneaky player next year for value because, you know, he's a dual running back or a dual threat quarterback. He can run the ball. He definitely can obviously get you, you know, points in the air. But I feel like with this talent, there's no reason for him not to be able to, you know, do well next year fantasy wise. Now moving on to the Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster, he signed a one-year deal worth $8 million. Now, obviously, this is one guy that apparently he took less money to go back to the Steelers. Who knows exactly what's true about that? What teams actually? I don't remember any team that came out. There was teams that were interested, but never any information that came out of any teams that actually gave him an offer. So with that being the case, it's kind of interesting that Juju had a limited market. The thing about these players, like a lot of players who remain unsigned, are player, the market tells you what your value is. And the more and more you're on the market, the more and more it's going to tell you that you're going to have to take less money because whatever you're offering or whatever money you're seeking is not being, you know, these teams are not biting. So I feel like, and that's what was interesting about Kenny Golladay. When I saw he won $18 million a year and he still remained unsigned, it was like, okay, he's asking for way too much money. He's going to have to take a lesser deal somewhere else. But he ended up getting the deal that he wanted with the Giants. So, but with Juju, you know, he definitely is getting underpaid. I think generally, you know, $8 million, that's a bargain for Juju. I mean, he's been a pretty productive wide receiver. I know the last couple of seasons hasn't been what we had saw, you know, seen with him when he had Antonio Brown there. But Juju is a very good slot receiver. I mean, he had the most slot receiver touchdowns last year with 9, and that's including the postseason. So, you know, he is the slot receiver. You got Deontay Johnson, you know, playing the outside. You got, you know, Chase Claypool. Now he's gonna be playing the outside. You got Deontay, you know, then you got Juju playing the slot. I do think that from a fantasy standpoint, I think his value remains the same. I still think he's kind of that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. I do think that Chase Claypool now takes a hit with that with Juju re-signing. So I think it's all determines on, you know, what we start seeing throughout the offseason when preseason games start. And, you know, Juju's definitely a guy you draft. But when it comes to someone like Chase Claypool, he may be a guy that you probably hold on because you just really don't know exactly how the Steelers are going to use him going forward, which he was used sparingly. He had a few weeks that he just did, you know, awesome. He was one of the top waiver wire pickups last year. But when it comes to drafting him, I don't know. I'm sure he'll still be drafted in our drafts. But it'll be interesting once we start doing mock drafts, once we, you know, have the draft, once we, you know, as we have actually at the NFL draft, once free agency officially stops, and then we see kind of like what goes on during the preseason, it'll be interesting to see what his draft position is like, his ADP is, you know, during mock drafts and whatnot, and see what, you know, he ends up being. So definitely hurts Chase Claypool. Now moving on to the Miami Dolphins, they signed Will Fuller to a one-year contract. You know, I think this is a good move. I think this is a good move for Tua, or a good move for the Dolphins for Tua. You know, you give him Will Fuller, then you get Preston Wilson, you get Deontay Parker, and then you got Mike Gesicki. So I think those are capable running, you know, wide receivers for him. Then you get Miles Gaskin, right? You get Miles Gaskin as the running back. They signed Malcolm Brown, so you got capable running backs. I feel like the Dolphins are making good moves that will help Tua going forward. Unless there's a massive trade that happens where Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Dolphins for Tua, who knows what's going on with Deshaun Watson, and if there's going to be actual trade that takes place. But I do think as of right now, very good for the Dolphins on getting to another weapon. Now going on to the Washington football team, they signed Curtis Samuel to a 3-year, $32.5 million contract. Now I think this is awesome for Curtis Samuel. I think that we saw when Christian McCaffrey went out last year that they used him, the Panthers used him in very different ways. They're able to put him in as a running back. They put him in the slot. You know, he's definitely a guy, which is also another cool thing, is he played with Terry McLaurin at Ohio State. So that's always cool to see college teammates kind of reunite in the NFL and play on the same team. Same thing for like OBJ and Jarvis Landry. It's always cool to kind of see those players kind of, you know, come full circle and play again. But a great move for Washington. Now, this obviously gives, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick another weapon, which and then they got Logan Thomas. So then you talk about Antonio Gibson and JD McKissick. I think this is a pretty decent team. They got a good defense. So I do think that Washington's making some pretty good moves. And then the Rams signed wide receiver DeSean Jackson to a one-year contract, which obviously is a good move for them. They need somebody who can spread the field and stretch the field. So I think DeSean Jackson signing that one-year contract is good and good for Matthew Stafford. Now, AJ Green signed a one-year deal worth $8.5 million with the Cardinals. It's an interesting move. I think that when you talk about, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is the main guy. You got Christian Kirk. You add AJ Green. You got Andy Isabella too. So, this is definitely a decent signing. What's nice about AJ Green, he's not going to be a guy who's going to warrant double coverage. So he could have a decent, weeks here and there in fantasy wise, but you're talking about just another body for Kyler Murray. Then you also, if Larry Fitzgerald comes back, I mean, there's decent weapons there. So I think it's a decent signing. I think that the days of AJ Green being that star wide receiver are gone. I mean, last year with Joe Burrow, I think that we saw a lot of times where they just barely missed on touchdowns. And I think that if those were converted, I feel like AJ Green would have had a better, obviously a better fantasy outing last year. But Joe Burrow goes down with the ACL. And so then it just kind of made it where he was kind of irrelevant. But, at least he gets a decent contract with the Cardinals. And now going on to the Buffalo Bills, Emmanuel Sanders signed a one-year, $6 million contract. For me, and actually I'll add this to John Brown signed a one-year contract with the Raiders. I feel like this is a lateral move for both teams. I don't feel like John Brown going to the Raiders. I mean, John Brown goes to the Raiders. Nelson Aguilar signs with the Patriots. So, like, I feel like them losing John Brown and then them adding Emmanuel Sanders really doesn't move the needle for me much for Josh Allen. I feel like it's just a guy who, obviously another wide receiver. He's a talented wide receiver, but then you got Gabriel Davis, right? Then you got Cole Beasley, so I feel like there's a lot of mouths to feed as well. And I just don't know how much, Emmanuel Sanders, or when it comes to fantasy value wise, I don't see much there for Emmanuel Sanders. But for Josh Allen, I just don't see how that brings him up a notch, which I feel like the same thing with Derek Carr, with John Brown going to the Raiders. I just don't see the reasoning behind it. John Brown's a very, very good wide receiver. He's very underrated, I believe. But it's one of those things where, look, you the Raiders have had a very interesting offseason already. Lost pretty much their whole offensive line. They're signing weird players. I don't know. I have a friend who's a Raiders fan and just kind of baffled on what's going on with them. But hopefully the Raiders have some type of answer, because as of right now, there are not very many happy Raider fans. Now moving on to the tight end position, I'll start with Rob Gronkowski. He re-signed with the Tampa Bay Bucks on a one-year deal worth $10 million, which I feel like this is inevitable. I felt like once Tom Brady extended his contract throughout another year, I feel like Gronk will play for the Bucks as long as Tom Brady plays for the Bucks. And I do think that we saw Gronk finally come into his own. By the end of the season, he had a very good Super Bowl. He had two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. But I do think that the Bucs are just trying to keep everything in-house with the players they have. And they add, obviously Rob Gronkowski comes back. Cameron Brate's coming back. He's probably going to have to restructure his contract, but he should be back. And then you get O.J. Howard back. So I do think that this is going to be one of the very many talented tight end rooms in the league, which... I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see what the Bucs are able to do with those three talented tight ends. But it's good to see Gronk back. Now, going on to the New England Patriots. Now, they signed both the top free agent tight ends on Jonnu Smith. He signed a four-year deal worth $50 million. And then Hunter Henry signed a three-year deal worth $37.5 million. Now, I like both moves. I think the problem is when the Patriots last year had no weapons. Other than Julian Edelman, they really had nobody to throw to. And I think them going after two of the top tight ends says a lot, because if you look back what happened in 2011 with the Patriots, when they had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, Gronk was the tight end one, Hernandez was the tight end three. And not saying that you're going to have top five tight ends every single season, because that only happened a couple times throughout the life of fantasy football. But you're talking about a team that wants to, use their tight ends, get you down the seam. They bring in Nelson Aguilar. They got Damien Harris. They got Sony Michel. It's just you're starting to see players in this team kind of now finally gel into what Belichick wants. I mean, they got eight players coming back from the COVID-19 list that opted out. So the Patriots, even though they were not very good last year, this is going to be a different team this year. And I feel like the Patriots will be back into the playoff discussion and it being very competitive, especially with the Jonnu Smith and the Hunter Henry signings. Now, with the Hunter Henry signing, now he has dealt with injuries throughout his career. So if he can stay healthy, I'm a big fan of these two. So very good, two good signs with the New England Patriots. And then going to Jared Cook. Jared Cook, he signed a one-year deal worth $6 million with the Chargers. You know, it's one of those things where, Hunter Henry is definitely, it's a downgrade from Hunter Henry. Jared Cook is an older tight end, so I'm not sure how much this is going to affect Justin Herbert going forward. But to me, this is kind of a meh signing to me. I think, it's one of those things where, you're going to sign where a team wants you, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Jared Cook has a very good season with the Chargers, but just kind of from a fantasy standpoint, it's kind of a wait and see. He's not a guy that I'm going to go out and draft. And then with the Seahawks, Gerald Everett signed a one-year deal worth $6 million with Seattle. And I think Gerald Everett is a very talented tight end. I think that he will have the opportunity to do some good with the Seattle Seahawks. However, there was a report that came out yesterday that Will Dissly is still the number one tight end. So that means that, maybe Gerald Everett doesn't get the opportunity that he was hoping for, but he's definitely talented enough to be a tight end that could do some damage if he gets the opportunity. So maybe during training camp and during the OTAs that he shows that he's, a lot better than Dissly. Very interesting signing there. And I mentioned earlier, Kyle Rudolph, he signed with the Giants. And I think this is a good move for, in the sense of like being a blocking tight end. I think that they'll use Kyle Rudolph as a situational tight end and like in the red zone and everything. But when it comes to the fantasy value, that there's really no fantasy value there because Evan Ingram is the guy that you want. But I feel like Kyle Rudolph, based on what the landscape could be with the tight ends next year, it could be that Kyle Rudolph may have some stream appeal based on that. But other than that, I mean, it's a good signing from a logistics standpoint for the Giants, but not for a fantasy standpoint. And then my last tight end that I'm going to talk about is Anthony Firkser. Now, he's with the Tennessee Titans. Hopefully I said his name right. I don't seem like I did, but he signed a one-year deal with the Titans. And I feel like with Jonnu Smith leaving, I feel like this allows Firkser to be a possible sleeper next year because, Jonnu Smith, he definitely got his targets. And then with A.J. Brown, Corey Davis now leaves and goes to the Jets. So there's a possibility there's targets there. So obviously those targets have to go somewhere. Now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the draft and who the Titans may sign going forward. But I definitely think that this makes for a possibility of a tight end sleeper next year. So those are all of the free agent signs. I try to pick all the main names that are fantasy relevant. There are definitely guys I didn't talk about, but I feel like these are the main guys I feel like will be talked about during the offseason when it comes to like the mock drafts and rankings and all that. So with that being the case, don't forget to send all your fantasy football questions to chip@gridironfantasyfootball.com. I'll leave the email down in the description. And honestly, this is the offseason, so I want to talk about anything you guys want to talk about. So if there's something that you want covered in the offseason, please let me know. I want to help prepare you guys for the draft as much as possible. So if there's any questions, any videos you want me to do, just shoot me an email at chip@gridironfantasyfootball.com. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, comment, and share the podcast, the YouTube. Now, on the next episode, I will now be starting the series how it started and how it ended. I'm going to go over all the quarterback, running backs, all the positions on kind of how things played out through the 2020 season. So make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes. And if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at the Gridiron Pod and on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening today. And we'll see you all in the next episode. Take care.